Esoteric Research Organization.
Hero paranormal, always setting up the pace, man. Crop circle tipping,
Illuminati still tripping,
making those ears perk up, gonna make you question your earth.
You better.
Mystery bloodlines and secret society, creepy shapeshifter sitters come sit beside me.
Yeah, go see all that.
Swords with all these spiral,
acting like UFOs.
So we put space wolf, tiptoe through the dark, third eye blinding, tune in and blast off, blast off.
Blast off, baby.
Blast off.
Blast off on another epic episode of the Hyper Anomalous Esoteric Research Organization podcast, aka Hero Paranormal. My name is Ryan, the Anomalous Ambassador of the Airwaves, broadcasting from spacewolfresearch.com. Great introduction from the one, the only, Ryan Spivey. Follow him on Instagram, Spivey_music. The guy knows his stuff, and he's the coolest space cowboy musician that I know. We are going to look at something pretty horrific that's making the rounds right now, and this is the issue of a guy named Barbecue in Haiti who purportedly is in charge of these cannibal gangs. It's really making the rounds. There is some strange photography involved and videos. And for lack of a better word, we're going to dive in and see if there's any reality to all this. Also, a lot of the people that are jumping on this are pointing out the fact that he's wearing a Freemasonic necklace and then commenting that, oh, he just bought this on Etsy or got it out of a gumball machine. Why would a voodoo practicing Haitian cannibal also be a Freemason? Well, there is a very long history, in fact, between Freemasonry and voodoo. Both are influential on one another, and we're going to get to all that. I've got a lot of info having to do with that, specifically the Prince Hall Masons, who were Buffalo soldiers in the Uinta Basin of Utah, and how they also were from the Caribbean and practiced voodoo. But the same is true in Haiti. In fact, the majority of Anyway, we'll get to that in just a sec. We're going to dive deep. We're going to dive deep into that. So let's look at Haiti in general. But before we do, if you haven't gone over to heroparanormal.com, you're missing out. There is a ton of content over there for you to explore. Also, if you'd like to purchase any swag, we've got all kinds of t-shirts, books, etc. at the shop. Check that out. And getting more. And lastly, if you want to support the podcast with something for your significant other, or you just want to baby yourself, there's health products as well. Specifically, Spicer Organic Bronze is available at happinessmedical.com, just like it sounds, happinessmedical.com. It's a product my wife invented, formulated, engineered, brought to market. It's the bomb. The first 100% all organic lotion that keeps your skin moisturized and hydrated while keeping that amazing color that looks so good. 100% organic aloe vera infused with 100% organic coconut oils and other all organic ingredients. Don't have the list in front of me here. She could tell you right off the bat, but I can't. Anyway, she knows what she did on this one, knocked it out of the park. And if you feel like spoiling somebody close to you or even yourself, check it out. You can purchase that at happinessmedical.com. Okay, so let's get to it. Haiti is a very interesting place. I love the island. And whether you're on the Dominican side or the Haitian side, it's an island full of culture and history and so important to the Caribbean. So Haiti's been in trouble for a long, long time. And what I mean by trouble is political, cultural trouble, in comparison to its neighbor who it shares a border with, the Dominican Republic. I love the Dominican Republic. Like I said, I love Haiti. The entire island is a gem. But let's get into the trouble that Haiti has. Right now, in particular, Haiti seems to be absolutely ungovernable. Society seems to be in total collapse. There seems to be strong arm gangs or militia which are in constant battles for power. Obviously, in power struggles, fear is a valuable weapon. And the more fearful your enemies are of you, the more valuable that is as an asset. And go figure, if your enemies think you're a cannibal, my goodness, that fear factor is going to go off the charts and be a very valuable asset in the field. I know it's dark, I know it's hideous, but we run into this with all kinds of different organizations that fight for power. As examples, we have the cartels, and they also try to instill fear in one another. But let's stick to Haiti. We know that this system works, the system of fear. Fear can be a valuable asset in the art of war. And I'm happy that we're doing this on March 22nd, one of my favorite dates, 3/22, a very important esoteric date. And this seems appropriate because the advanced working group of elites that run this world know how to use fear. So it's no different in smaller groups fighting for power. 3/22 is a very important number to a variety of organizations. There is, of course, Genesis 3:22 in the Bible. And that leads us into a whole bunch of other stuff. But let's stick to these gangs. We've done a lot of looking into this over the years, the esoteric subtleties, even of warfare. And 3/22 seems appropriate. So I'm glad that this podcast is taking place today. Now, in this country, we had the gangs of New York, who were no different than the gangs of Haiti right now. Fear was very important with these gangs of New York when they were carving out, no pun intended, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about, but these gangs were carving out areas in New York for them to thrive. And they would battle quite often in the streets, bloody battles with very horrific weaponry. The same is true in Haiti. The same has been true throughout history. Throughout human history, the human experience is riddled with bloodshed. In fact, I've heard that the wheels of history move on blood alone, or bloodshed. And, you know, to a certain degree, this is true. So let's not hold violence against any particular culture when they are in battle for power, because that's the way it's been. That's the way it's always been. And unfortunately, there are those who pay the ultimate price, and it can get bloody. So yeah, the wheels of history move on blood alone. And in Haiti, it seems to be no different. So what we're looking at particularly in Haiti is this guy who seems to be rising up to the top as a alleged leader of these gangs. His name is, his nickname, I should say, is Barbecue. He's wearing a Freemasonic necklace. And a lot of people are very worried about this. This is making the rounds in many media outlets. Now, I'm going to come right out of the gate and say that a researcher I know has looked at some of the imagery. One particular image is of what appears to be a human corpse, headless on a rotisserie-style deal on top of a fire, slow roasting. And looking at the metadata of that picture, he is under the impression that not only is this image not valid because the image was taken over a year ago, but the image is taken over a year ago and was taken in Africa. So not Haiti, over a year ago and in Africa. So that part is debunked. Now, to debunk it even further, doing a little more research and investigation over the image, he found that this was actually a Halloween prop that was being photographed, I believe, in front of a restaurant over a year ago in Africa. So again, three different forms of debunking, yet this is the image making the rounds when people are discussing and talking about this horrible gang violence and cannibalism in Haiti, specifically talking about this gentleman who is the leader of one of these gangs, aka Barbecue is his name, his nickname. And this is the image making, one of the images making the rounds with this. Okay, so the image has been debunked, but does that mean that the entire story has been debunked? Not necessarily, but it is a good starter. So let's start with that. And this gentleman, Barbecue, has been making amazing speeches, which he's getting a lot of followers. And I'm going to play one for you, but I'll also translate it and tell me what you think. These are very heartfelt, passionate speeches. He's gaining popularity. He's gaining followers. And it's adding to the groups of roaming armed men that are, well, doing his bidding. So check this out. This is what he says to the public. Let's look at the two types of Haitians, he says. One on top, one on the bottom. These people will keep us in slavery for 10 to 20 more years. So their children will be ministers, directors, generals, presidents, senators, and big entrepreneurs. Meanwhile, they'll need us to go burn tires and do violent demonstrations for them. That's the mental revolution that must precede the armed revolution. Okay, there's more. I didn't go all in on that, but that you get the idea. The fact is, people are angry. People are sad. People are impoverished. People are out of hope. And let's just face it, Barbecue, he is giving speeches that are verbalizing hope, even though it includes roving gangs of men who are armed to the hilt. He seems to be the rising star of these violent gangs and the peddler of hope for a brighter future. So Haiti is in huge trouble. The problem is that there's been billions of dollars allegedly accumulated to help Haiti. Specifically, the one nobody is talking about is the Clinton Foundation. And for the Haitian people, the Clintons allegedly had the Clinton Foundation that went over there. And, well, let's just say they're not very well liked over there, right? even over here in Little Haiti. In Florida. So there are those Haitians who despise any mention of the Clintons. Why is this? Well, the Clinton Foundation allegedly accumulated billions of dollars for the Haitian people. However, nobody knows where that money is necessarily, or at least they're not talking about it, especially those at the center of some of these issues. So I don't know where it is. A lot of people don't know where it is. It doesn't seem to be in Haiti. Things are rough there. Things are tough there. And people want to get out of there. Now, that's the problem. This scenario of these roaming armed men in gangs battling it out in the streets. This is not a good environment to raise a family in. So, of course, you're going to have refugees. Refugees who are going to go where? Well, one of the places is, of course, the United States. And I don't blame them. I would want to get my family and get my butt the heck out of there, too. But let's concentrate a little bit on some of this esotericism and the connection between the Freemasonic influence and voodoo magic. Specifically because a lot of internet trolls and haters have jumped all over Barbecue for wearing a Freemasonic gold necklace. I argue that Freemasonry and voodoo, Santeria, and even Prince Hall Masons of many types have been very knowledgeable of all aspects of these things I've listed and named. A good example of that, as I mentioned quickly before, are the Buffalo Soldiers who were stationed in Fort Duchesne in the Uinta Basin of Utah. They were among the first Buffalo Soldiers ever utilized, and I believe the first encampment of Buffalo Soldiers holding a fort down. And Fort Duchesne was a stronghold. It was a stronghold over the Ute tribe, and the Buffalo Soldiers were given that name because their hair, according to the Native Americans, was like that of a buffalo. It was different than the white man's hair, and with good reason, good reason to call them that so they could, you know, describe the difference between the white male cavalry soldiers and the Prince Hall Mason soldiers. Many of them were very, very aware and educated about not only Freemasonry, but also the invocation of certain deities on not just the Freemasonic front, but also voodoo and those deities, and quite literally had an exponential understanding of magic. They were very, very knowledgeable. So for those internet haters, those trolls that are saying these Haitians, what's the possibility that this Haitian guy barbecue is actually a Freemason or knows anything about Freemasonry, probably got that necklace out of a gumball machine or off of Etsy? I disagree. There is a very long history of Freemasonry with revolutionary types of characters in Haitian culture. And there is a correlation and a dark dance between Freemasonry and voodoo, because they go hand in hand, and even Santeria. These different esoteric educations and paths dance an interesting and mysterious game together. So let's dive in. This is an interesting deal where people are seeing videos online of corpses being barbecued, and then there's this guy called Barbecue and these roaming gangs. Well, what's happening behind all this media theater? That's, I want to know the truth, right? And I'm sure a lot of you do as well. Okay, the politics is murky, but I'm going to try to break it down. It all started with a dictatorship of Duvalier. Now, he had security forces in place, paramilitary, police. There wasn't, you know, there was some control of the country. In 1991, a president was elected who believed in what he called popular basis, because he had serious distrust of the military. Well, go figure, after a little while, the military toppled his presidency and ousted him. And the ball of chaos, as I like to call it, really got rolling downhill. Well, guess who stepped in to help out? The Clinton administration stepped in, technically, making things worse. Because, well, the army was dismantled. The United States sent Marines under Clinton's administration. They went in to basically control the country. And later, the United Nations came in to control the country. And in 2004, these gangs known as Chimeres came in because of, well, the president was again ousted once again. And these gangs, Chimeres, started taking over. Now, there were little bits and pieces of calm and peace in between here, but really, the UN, the United Nations, had its problems. It didn't train anybody to take over. It just kind of left again. And the same way it came in, it left. And Haiti was left without a military. Now, keep in mind, the country I was born in, Costa Rica, and Haiti are the only two countries in the Western Hemisphere that do not have armies. So, Haiti without an army, without any type of dictatorship, without any type of really ruling president, and the growing of these Chimeres or gangs. And after the Clinton administration, the Marines left, the United Nations left, everybody left and just kind of left it on its own. So go figure. These gangs, these Chimeres, began to rise to power once again. These roaming bands of armed men utilizing violence to gain power. So basically, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people that are ruled by gang warfare and by gangs. Now, for some reason, you know, when the United Nations gets involved, you know things are bad, but when they leave, things usually get really bad. And the United Nations mandate expired in 2017, and the United Nations left. And things got really, really bad. And let's get things straight. I'm no lover or supporter of the United Nations. Let's look at, you know, we're talking about chaos, one thing on top of another, on top of another. There's layers to this, which go back quite a ways. So it's not like everything just became dismantled overnight. This has been, you know, a long, drawn out scenario, and it is now at a breaking point. I'll tell you what, though, the earthquake which took place there did not help anything. In fact, the earthquake was brutal, especially for the infrastructure involved in that location. That allowed not only a lot of horrible things to happen, but it affected other countries nearby. So how many people died in the 2010 earthquake in Haiti? Approximately 300,000 souls met their maker. It was a powerful 7.1 magnitude quake, and it devastated the capital, epicenters for business. And it wasn't the only one. In fact, there was another one in 2021. So these things happen, and it's never good. But when you have mandates that allow the United Nations to come in and set up shop, you have to worry. Also, it looks like this time around, there is going to be at about the price of $1 billion a year, the Kenyan army is going to come in and try to set up shop and kind of hold down the fort, so to speak, in Haiti. It's much needed. They need an armed force there to keep these chaotic outbreaks of gang violence down. And it's that significant that you need literally a military on site. Armed police just doesn't cut it anymore. And this is unfortunate because, as I mentioned before, Costa Rica also does not have an army. They just have police. And it's just a different scenario, but for whatever reason, the political insecurity, the instability, and the already poignant threat of these gangs upon one another has stirred the pot, so to speak. And the fact that these gangs have been used in the past by political opponents against one another is disappointing, but has given them kind of a strong arm mentality. They know what they can and can't get away with, and anymore they can get away with just about anything. And that's becoming readily present with these claims of cannibalism in the country. Add a little voodoo and Freemasonry to that, and let's just say that power exponentially grows. And the religion in the Dominican Republic and Haiti has been one of basically Christianity, the spiritual cultures of the Caribbean, and African traditional religions manifested into a smorgasbord of healing and spiritual traditions. And the letter G, in other words, the letter of the grand architect in Masonry, and the square and compass and other Masonic imagery can be seen in a lot of the ritual shrines that you find in Haiti. There was a Freemasonic provincial grand lodge established under the direction of the Grand Orient of France in 1778. And although slaves were originally not allowed into the lodges, eventually, many obtained Masonic wisdom. So many, in fact, that freed slaves from Haiti were recorded as members of the lodge in Bordeaux, France. This is pretty wild because when they returned to the island, many members established lodges based on their knowledge, mixed with African tradition and the living culture, Santeria and Voodoo. We have a very interesting mix of a creative force. A creative force which is usually believed to be a supreme being. A creating being. A creator. A god of fertility. And it's interesting that the Kenyan soldiers are coming in to help the people of Haiti. Because John Mibiti, a Kenyan philosopher and writer, who is also considered the father of modern African theology, notes, and I quote, that the strict universe of African individuals is thickly populated with soul creatures, spirits, and the living dead or spirits of the progenitors. Some impersonal powers control the order of the universe. The living things are at the mercy of some generous or wicked users of those powers. The omnipotent gods delivering his deeds to low-rank deities implies polytheism. With this respect, voodoo can arguably be considered as a polytheistic religion. So, although Haiti currently does have technically a leader, Prime Minister Ariel Henry, he is not the deity that is in control at the moment. In fact, gangs practicing other mysterious religious practices are waging war in the streets and praising other deities. Machetes, guns, knives, and more are being used against officers. The gangs are heavily armed, but they're also equipped with some higher level technology. Shockingly, they have drones. But the violence is what's important. You can't seem to escape their eyes. Port-au-Prince is a war zone. And police have confirmed that major gang leader Ernst Juhm, known as T.I. Greg, was slain in a clash with other forces. Juhm led a gang called the Delmas 95. But this is a very sad daily life. People are killed daily. The sounds of gunshots can be heard throughout neighborhoods in the city. Keep in mind that there are parents with children who are just trying to survive. There are roadblocks, people in large groups carrying machetes and weapons, and they've been rocked by violence for quite some time now. People are being hung in the streets by angry lynch mobs. Sometimes they are gang leaders. Other times they're not. The president that put and appointed the prime minister in power was assassinated in 2021. His name was President Jovenel Moïse. And basically, he was never replaced. Since then, the prime minister, Henry, has led the country. Keep in mind, Haiti has not had an official election since 2016. And although Haitians are eagerly awaiting the military of Kenya to come and help, there has been a pause to the deployment. And the reason is not entirely sure. It may have to do a little with the politics involved. President William Ruto's insistence on sending people to help Kenya has been met with some opposition. And let's face it, being an elected official, you don't want opposition. And man, what a scenario it is. Let's get back to the core and the most disturbing parts of this scenario at the moment, which is of course, this alleged cannibalism by the gangs right out in the streets. Now, when it comes to cannibalism, it's an interesting scenario and situation because it's been used in wartime chaotic events to take upon yourself the energy of your enemy. And cannibalism has a long and distinct history on the periphery of both voodoo and Freemasonry. Let me explain. But it goes into some strange territory, and that's the territory of zombies. Interestingly, the writer of the very well-loved television series The Walking Dead, William Seabrook, spent a lot of time in Haiti, and he really did study the culture. And according to him, he actually ran into an actual zombie in Haiti. He came face to face with one. And apparently, it was quite the ordeal, and it made an impression on him. So much, in fact, that he is behind today's most popular zombie movie or series. And the very zombie-like characteristics that people see come from alleged cannibalism. And I'm gathering this from A Dictionary of Psychology by Andrew M. Coleman. And it says the following: death or apparent death resulting from the effects of voodoo, a set of religious beliefs and practices of West African origin, surviving in Haiti and other parts of the Caribbean and in the scattered communities of the southwestern United States. Voodoo formerly involved human sacrifice and cannibalism. It now involves sorcery and curses so frightening that they are believed to be capable of causing the death of their victims. Though some of the deaths may be apparent rather than real, and may result from poisoning by sorcerers attempting zombification. So you can get the zombification, the zombie-like status, through two different venues. Number one, you can cannibalize your enemies and ingest their tissues. And if you happen to ingest their brains, you can get what's known as Kuru disease, where people very much act like zombies. And there is the second way, or the second path, that zombification can take place. And that is by the sorcerers poisoning their enemies, and then their enemies become zombified or have zombie-like characteristics. Now, Haiti has been steeped in mystery and legend for hundreds of years. And it has been full of references to zombies, people who act like zombies, not to mention cases, stories, and examples of cannibalism, and people or human beings who can transfer their existence into animals or transform completely into animals via shape-shifting. Now, where things are different with the case of these gangs is that if you are a believer in some of these more fringe theological systems, and evil priests and sorcerers known as Bokor very much are fringe and practice voodoo, Santeria, and other disciplines, they believe that sacrifice, meaning human sacrifice, is required for their deity, their personal deities who give them what they want. So the deity that helps them, technically, in some way, shape, or form, eats the human sacrifice and At times, even the one sacrificing may take a nibble. This is in a bunch of different stories, legends, and the reality is, it may very well be true that human sacrifice and cannibalism play a role in some more fringe voodoo practices. Now, it's very important not to misunderstand the culture of Haiti. It is very complex. And although there have been claims and examples and stories or legends of cannibalism, these, in some ways, in some forms, were used as a way for the imperialists to justify slavery. There is evidence of this. And the more uncivilized you can make a population out to be, the more you can subject them to horrific treatment and utilize them for your own gain and benefit unfairly. So it's really important to not get it twisted that many of the legends and tales were actually spread far and wide by imperialism. Because the worse you could make the enslaved Africans appear, specifically not only to their counterparts, but also to other slave traders, the easier it is to justify that behavior. So it becomes kind of a what came first, the chicken or the egg scenario. Because after the Atlantic slave trade came to an end, we have to ask ourselves, is this a situation where these stories were made up, spread far and wide, and then people got the idea to do these things? Or were people already doing these things, however, these exploits were inflated and, you know, a lot of made-up shenanigans were included in the legends? It's difficult to know what the reality is, but Caribbean history is very complex, and you have to be careful how much you believe, how much data there is, because folklore is very persistent in Caribbean cultures. Trust me, I'm very aware of this. I've heard many tales of shapeshifters, of cannibalism, of dark sorcery, and specifically of dark evil priests or Bokor being able to manifest their enemies into subservient zombies who do their bidding. So you have to understand that some of this may have come about prior to the banishing of slavery as a form of control for the populace. But other parts make you wonder. There are stories of shapeshifters, very, very prolific stories of shapeshifters, werewolves, zombies, dark arts magicians, and the eating of flesh, whether that be by the deities that empower the dark priests or by the priests themselves. It gets hard to separate the wheat from the chaff because there are so many stories, right? Such an enduring presence of these things taking place in witchcraft beliefs and oral traditions. Therefore, it's likely that it is authentically local history and one should consider it, but is it something that's provable? Therein lies the big question. Reports of real and imagined cannibalism are widespread. And therefore, accusations of this behavior and of witchcraft are usually also in the mix. So as a researcher, I always have to take a few steps back in more modern times when we have news coming out of cannibalism currently taking place in Haiti during these gang war zone endeavors. And you have to wonder if, again, witchcraft is involved, because traditional sources, for various reasons, have implied that one is not going to take place without the other. So the controversy becomes, is this being done to instill fear in their enemies? Much like the imperialists told these stories to instill fear among other imperialists so that they didn't feel as bad, from the gains of the slave trade. However, different in this case, because if you are alleging to be doing this stuff yourself, such as in the case of this person, this leader of the gang's barbecue, if you're alleging to be doing this yourself, you are trying to instill fear in your enemies, something that should help with your existence. Unless the entire ordeal or problem or situation goes away, and then you have to live with the consequences of it. However, cannibalism has been something that has been described through various ancient texts, going back as far as we can imagine. Nephilim, for example, the fallen angels were said to cannibalize on humans. Eat humans, although different. But this was something that seems to come into controversy because the Nephilim were part human. It is said that the giant Nephilim were the offspring from the fallen angels and the daughters of men in some cases. I guess these would be less DNA Nephilim than the original Nephilim. But as this situation continued, these giants were also said to cannibalize upon humanity. So getting to the point, is it something along the lines of contaminated DNA from the past that this type of behavior seems to be implicitly included in darker rituals because it's just there? Is this contaminated DNA of the Nephilim involved in the witchcraft and in some of the voodoo that some are alleging? And for those of you who are shocked by such discussions and possibilities, let me just say that humankind has long spoken of the consumption of human flesh, specifically involved in sacred ritual, over and over. And evidence of cannibalism has been found on many Pacific islands, Native American tribes, South America, and just about every region of the world. So this is not something crazy we're bringing to the forefront. This is a historical fact. In war-torn areas specifically, ritual cannibalism has been performed, and performed sometimes out of necessity, or the motivations were at least a little more clear that people were starving to death. Add that to the fact that their belief systems induce the thinking that they can reap physical or spiritual power from this consumption. And all of a sudden, the ritual, the practice, and the agenda becomes obvious. Cannibalism has been involved in many dark arts and has been an initiation ritual for some of them. Even our ancestors to modern Homo sapiens who lived in caves had, well, defleshed human bones dating back 600,000 years. They were defleshing each other. These are our ancient ancestors, Neanderthals. And anthropologists argue that there may have been more to this than just the need for food. In many cases, there was a deeper purpose in their minds. In fact, anthropologists prefer to call it anthropophagy, literally something of a strange term meaning man eating. That's literally what it means, man eating. So it's ritualized. They weren't doing it just for the meat. This is definitely a multi-layered and complex topic, which causes revulsion to most. But the fact that it is being alleged to be taking place in modern times really is disconcerting. It's bothersome, right? Not to mention the fact that it definitely instills fear. And some traditions and stories and legends talk about cannibalism amongst Native Americans, as I said before, and Navajo witchcraft and other forms of witchcraft have basically some strange peculiarities and interesting stories revolving around deities, entities, or shapeshifters which consume humans. And it's not just, you know, Native American magic. In Native American magic, there's the Navajo term prostitution way, azite, which, though connected and interrelated, it is a type of witchcraft, which includes a bunch of different stuff. Certain plants are used for love magic or for success in gambling or trading, and frenzy witchcraft can be included, as well as ceremonial. But let's get back to the reality that this is not the only culture that has these beliefs. Most cultures have these beliefs. And if you even read the Book of the Law by Aleister Crowley, or you know of the occult mass done by the OTO, the Ordo Templar Orientis, you understand that there is the Cake of Light, which is quite literally a communion, and it does include some of the monthly substance of a woman's cycle. And of course, I'm talking about her fertility cycle. So here you are eating, literally, although they claim it is burned and cleared and then the ash is included. The bottom line is it's ritualistically symbolic of eating the flesh, eating the blood of another. And it would be improper not to discuss it because there are corollaries in other witchcraft types, other magical practices. In Costa Rica, it is alluded to that if you are a woman and are a witch and you want to control a man, and I mean control, like completely control a man for your own benefit, that you are to do basically the same thing. Have him eat some food that you prepare, which includes some of the substance that comes from that specific time of the month. Again, this is not socially approved stuff I'm talking about, but neither is the frenzy witchcraft in the prostitution way of the Navajo or other Native American tribes. Most are unwilling to even talk about it. And the informants that I have talked to who postulate about the ceremonies, the rituals, understand that it is not socially approved. And the same is true from what I've gathered in the Caribbean. And it's not something that's talked about, but if you're there long enough, you hear about it. So these are forms of magic that delve into some pretty dark observed behaviors relating to the witchcraft and the outcome you want. Now, let's not go too far. Even Christianity, you know, when you go to church, you know, they say, take of my blood and take of my body. This is obviously symbolic. It's not the real deal. You know, you're not eating people. But even taking the host is a form of ritualized, symbolic cannibalism to some extent. I mean, anybody that argues that, I wouldn't see where they could argue that. But I could see that people could argue that because it's, we're talking about a different occasion, a different situation. But the bottom line is that from an anthropology standpoint, these rites, rituals, and ceremonies have included ingesting fluids, whether that be blood or tissue, of other human beings since, as I said before, since before we were really humans. Like even Neanderthals were doing it. So this has gone on for every era of our past and apparently now our present across all cultures. That's really important because a lot of people, including the imperialists in the Caribbean, were using these stories of cannibalism to downgrade the subjects that were doing the work for them. And the idea was, you know, they're less than human. They belong doing what they're doing. And this is often not the case. And what I mean by that is the oldest proof of cannibalism that we have comes from the Netherlands. A very, very white region, if you know what I mean. And eating human flesh goes way, way back. And you'd be amazed that many cultures ritually have done this in the past, whether it be, you know, the Brahmin, and that is, of course, in India, or Tibetan monks, or, you know, the idea that there's been different types of ritual tokens that embody the flesh, flesh pills made, where it's all about the symbolism, right? The symbolism. It's not about actually eating the meat. It's about the symbolic nature of the ritual. You know, let's get real. If you hear about an enemy that is going to eat you after battle, you're going to be scared to death. And the same is true in other aspects. I believe that this case currently in Haiti, this is more of a fear campaign, in my opinion. But the reality is Haiti has a long history of fringe spiritualism. And I think that it's a very rich history. It's very complex and dense. So everything cannot be taken off the table. However, in this case, I think it's a fear campaign. But in a more generalized sense, we know for a fact that human beings still, currently, just take the cake of light at an OTO mass. And the symbolic nature of that is that you are eating the flesh, the blood of another human being to some way, extent, or form. In at least some sense you are, right? And go to any church around and you'll encounter the same. Sure, it might be, you know, for example, in the LDS church, it might just be bread, some Wonder Bread and some water. But what it symbolizes is something completely different. And when it comes to ritual and ceremony, the symbolism is what matters. Magic is about symbolism. And while we're talking about Haiti, let's look at the voodoo doll. It's just a doll. What's wrong with poking a doll with a needle? It's just a doll, right? Well, not if you believe the magic. If you believe the magic, it is not just a doll. It is a symbolic representation of the person whom you are inherently poking with those needles. And although we call them voodoo dolls, they've been used in many different forms of magic and tradition for a long time. In fact, you should see what an economy voodoo dolls still are. There are modern people who have quite literally said, instead of talking back to your boss, just make a little voodoo doll of him and poke it with a needle. Yeah, I'm serious. In fact, Lindy Liang and fellow psychologists at the University of Waterloo in Ontario won the economics prize for their voodoo doll investigation. They were curious as to why people retaliate against bosses who could have them fired. The team showed that what mattered to slighted employees was a sense that justice had been served. And it's true. It is what it's all about. This is absolutely wild because this Nobel Prize for Arts is about voodoo dolls. Let me go on. For the second time in 2 years, Nobel winners in the Department of Psychology, again, won because they not only realized what was going on, but they got to show people that science doesn't necessarily need to be dry and boring. In their words, they proved that voodoo dolls, and the voodoo doll market is booming, by the way. You should see how many people are buying voodoo dolls exactly for this type of thing. So, yeah, Nobel prizes are basically being won, and it makes sense. You buy a voodoo doll, somebody slighted you, you don't do anything illegal whatsoever, you just poke it with a pin. But it's the symbolic nature, right? That's what we're talking about. The symbolic nature is what the human experience becomes when it's magic and magic ritual. So the symbolic nature of this is the important part. This is why witchcraft was banned for so many years and illegal, and why witches were burned at the stake. This was not just symbolism. People believed in prior time periods that this was not just symbolism. This was the real deal. And if they're doing it to a doll, they're doing it in real life. So we have to ask ourselves, is it really happening in Haiti? I'm sure that it has. I'm sure that it might. And I'm sure that someday it will continue. But in this particular case, I don't know. We need more investigation. And it's probably happened not just in Haiti, but wherever you're living, wherever I'm living, and probably all parts of this planet we call home. Until next time, keep your eyes to the skies, feet on the ground, but don't forget to take a look around.
Esoteric Research Organization.
Hero paranormal, always setting up the pace, man. Crop circle tipping.
Illuminati still tripping.
Making those ears perk up, gonna make you question your earth.
You better.
Mystery bloodlines and secret society. Creepy shapeshifter sitters come sit beside me.
Yeah, go Zelda.
Swords with all these spirals,
acting like UFOs.
Say what?
So we put space wolf tiptoe through the dark. Third eye blinding, tune in and blast off, blast off.
Blast off, baby.
Blast off.